This week, the head of the UN Nuclear Monitoring Agency accused North Korea of nuclear brinkmanship. That term is almost 50 years old, and with us now to explain how and why it's used is political historian Michael Beschloss. Mr. Beschloss, maybe we should begin by defining the term here. Where did it come from exactly, and how was it first used?
1956, John Foster Dulles, who was the Secretary of State, said in an interview, "You have to be willing to go to the brink if necessary if you're going to win the Cold War." In other words, be able to tolerate the danger that any crisis might lead to nuclear war. Adlai Stevenson, the Democrat who was running for president that year, replied, "That's exactly what's wrong with the Eisenhower administration. Time and time again, they're willing to walk to the brink, incur these nuclear crises that might incinerate the human race." He felt that some of these were not necessary.
And I, small grammatical point, I've always said brinksmanship. Am I wrong?
I have, too. Brinkmanship was the original word, and I guess if we're going to return to fundamentals, that's what we should use.
Well, now, does this kind of verbal tactic work? Because basically we're talking about threatening nuclear catastrophe in order to get what you want. That's what the Eisenhower administration was doing with the Soviet Union in the 1950s, basically.
It can work, but there are pretty high stakes. The biggest example was 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis. John Kennedy was willing to say, "Getting those missiles of the Soviet Union out of Cuba is so important to me that I'm willing to put the world on the brink of nuclear war." And that's virtually the language that he used. And so for about a week, the human race was terrified as it was waiting to find out what was going to happen.
We've just heard a report from South Korea in which it suggested that many people in South Korea assume that North Korea is bluffing, that this is just a negotiating tactic that they're using. And yet, I can't help but wonder if it might be effective anyway, because do you really want to take the chance that they're bluffing?
That's right. You always have to assume that even if there's a 1% chance that they're not bluffing, you have to assume that. The other thing, though, is that, you know, we have not bad intelligence sources that can lead us to find out whether a bluff is real or not. And that was also true in the 50s, because when Khrushchev was bluffing about Soviet nuclear strength, the Americans had things like the U-2 spy plane that could fly over the Soviet Union and find out that what Khrushchev was saying and claiming was false.
Historian Michael Beschloss' most recent books are The Conquerors, Roosevelt, Truman, and the Destruction of Hitler's Germany. Also, Reaching for Glory, Lyndon Johnson's Secret White House Tapes. Mr. Beschloss, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Steve.